Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 765. It's the 2nd of May 2017. On the podcast today, I have Michael Travier, Managing Director of Boss Global Holdings, that's BOS. And Michael covers their call design investment and what it means for the company and shareholders. Plus, I also have Greg Kunzel, Managing Director of Georgian Mining Corporation, that's GEO ticker, and Greg goes over their exceptionally high-grade copper-gold drill results for the Kavima Bolnese East project, and the share price really ramped up on those results. Plus, also on the podcast, Dave Reeves, Managing Director of Keras Resources, KRS, and we go over all the news that they've released since we last did a podcast, which is four bits of significant news. Also, I have, as always, the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs on the platform this morning.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Michael Travier, Managing Director of Boss Global Holdings. That's BOS ticker. Michael, thanks for joining me.
Thanks again, Justin. Great to be here.
Now, as I'm looking right now, you've had some news out, and the share price seems to be reacting positively as we speak. And we'll go into that in a bit. But as always, Michael, for people who are not aware of your company, what are you all about at Boss Global Holdings, please?
Yep, we're all about efficiency in the workplace, Justin. And for your listeners, what we're focusing on is actually the people, the technology and the activities that people undertake in the workplace. And we coin a new global label called Workforce Analytics, which we believe has not been addressed. So if you follow, the growth of the likes of Uber and how that was able to move into an established place and take market share, if you look at the way some ways technology have been able to take market share from existing businesses, we're no different. We're just very focused on workforce analytics, and it is a software, it is a methodology, and it enables individuals, teams and organizations to make fact-based decisions about what their work pattern is. The end result can only be an improvement in productivity, and it recognized as efficiency, which reflects on the bottom line.
Okay, so the RNS, the news out today is that the call design investment is to settle on the 23rd of May. So take us through this investment, or, you know, what it means for Boss and, investors and potential investors, how it will transform your business in any way.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, just to follow on from in the introduction of Boss Global to the listeners, Justin, we're all about workforce efficiency. Call Design is a 20-year company with major enterprises in the USA, in Europe, and in Australia focused on workforce optimization. And that's very specific around call centers. When you put the two of us together, what we're able to do is run across any size business, be it government or be it an enterprise, and to be able to actually give the real value of what people are doing in their day, and importantly, what they can do to make their productivity, their improvement, their efficiency, that actually results in a far better workplace. But importantly, an organization can start making fact-based decisions about what it wants to do with people. Importantly, again, if people are feeling threatened by machines in the workplace, what they can now do is use the tools of Boss 360 and actually find out that probably people are a better proposition than machines in a number of cases. So all around, this is very good for any economy. But specific to get back on the call design, specific about what's in it for Boss and its shareholders, I summarize it quite simply. This is about growth for us with less capital expenditure. In other words, by joining with Call Design, we are absolutely going to lower our costs. And we're currently looking at using their facility to provide a 24/7 support desk for our Boss 360 work patterns, which many people are aware gets launched in May. Two, this is an investment with a capital return. We've ensured there is a dividend policy. So no matter what happens, we have a very strict criteria about making investment and the returns it must deliver back to the organisation. So this is all about return on investment. Thirdly, this is about growth in revenue with enterprise clients for Boss. In other words, we can get to a bigger revenue stream by working with Call Design, by having Call Design as our platinum reseller, meaning they now can take all of our products to their client base. And importantly, we are part of them in doing so. So we get to share in the profits as well. That to me is a smart deal. Fourth, we have the option for Boss to recognize the Call Design income and profit if we move to 100% ownership. And there is the triggers in there to enable that. What that does for Boss and its shareholders is it puts an absolute multiplier effect on our market cap. And everyone knows that I've been stating for some time that in my own opinion, we're undervalued, which is why I pay a premium to shareholders, is because we have these opportunities presented to us. And Call Design is at the top of the list. Fifth, the ownership of a new global category for workplace efficiency, that being workforce analytics that I touched on the start. So what that means is, I believe, in my opinion, Boss Global is a very low entry price for to get engaged in what is going to be a killer category in the world, that being workforce analytics. And what's really important to us all is profit and dividends that, you know, that flow from this. And this is all about making money. We are in the business of profit, and shareholders will be only interested if we have the right revenue mix with the right level of profits that actually enables them to make money. And this is more about mid to long term. I don't follow short-term fluctuations. I'm looking for sustainable income with sustainable profit that results in a sustainable dividend for those. Importantly, our shareholders. And all our people are now shareholders as well.
Yeah, so looking at it, May is turning out to be a busy month for you, Michael, because like you just mentioned there, you're still on track. You have to release Boss 360, are you, this month?
Yeah, correct. Well, it's actually two products. It's Boss Time, and for the first time, people will actually see the Boss 360 work patterns relative to their time. So it's, again, amazing team to be able to roll our products at this rate and at an enterprise level. Yeah. So, yes, but every week's a big week, I have to say, in the life of Boss.
Excellent. Well, listen, you're certainly busy on the news front. And if anyone's listening right now, Michael, and they're thinking, yes, this company is getting things done, but they're not following you on Vox, can you give them three reasons why they should hit that follow button, please?
If they absolutely want to see a proven team with a proven capability, then definitely follow Boss. If you're like-minded like Boss and you want to make fact-based decisions about an investment or making fact-based decisions about what that investment is about, such as what Boss does and how it does it, then follow Boss. And if you believe through your own experiences that billions of workers and their employers can be more efficient in the workplace, then follow Boss Global, follow Boss 360 work patterns, and follow what I believe will be the killer category, workforce analytics. But proof will be in the pudding.
Marvellous. Michael, like I said, May is turning out to be a very busy month for you. So no doubt we'll speak again very soon. And until then, thanks very much.
Thank you again, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Greg Kunzel, Managing Director of Georgian Mining Corporation. That's GeoTicker. Greg, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Justin.
Now, it's a pity I was away last week, and I'd like to get you on hot off the back of this news, and we'll cover the news in a bit, and it is quite exceptional news, and the share price definitely reacted to it. But before we get into that, for anyone new to the podcast or have never heard of you, your company, Greg, explain what you're all about, please, in a summary.
Sure. Georgia Mining Corporation is an AIM-listed company. We have exploration and development assets in Georgia. We have an 860-square-kilometre licence area that we have a 50% joint venture on, although we have operational and management control over the local operations. We've got a large licence area, multiple prospective targets. One target has been the focus over the past 6 to 12 months, Kavema Bolnese. We have been drilling three individual targets at KB over the last 6 months, getting some fantastic results. And importantly, that project is located only 7 kilometres away from our local partner's operating copper gold mine, which has both a copper float plant and gold heap leach plants with spare capacity, which give us the opportunity to move into short-term production.
Yeah, and to explain to people, you know, one of the major obstacles, I suppose, if you're a mining company, is actually getting the funding, isn't it? Build a mine. Now, you don't have to do that, do you? Because, like you said, 7K down the road is your JV there, and they can take on this. So it's a very low capex for you. But explain, I think the results that came out on Thursday really sent the share price through the roof there. And explain for people some of the grades, because I know I had a mining specialist I chat to, and she said they're one of the biggest, highest she's ever seen.
Yeah, look, we had two announcements come out last week. One was on Monday, which was a resource upgrade for the copper target at Kavemo Bolnese, or KB, which was a fantastic result in its own right. We had set a target for quarter one of this year to achieve an initial resource of 1 to 2 million tonnes, which would enable us to support the initial spare capacity at our partner's float plant. The resource we announced on Monday was over that 1 to 2. It was 2.2 million tonnes at an average grade of 0.8% copper. But that included a JORC optimised in-pit resource of 1.2 million tonnes at 1% copper. Now, that's important because that was the target that triggered the commencement of the discussions with our partner on the economics of moving into production. And as you mentioned, we don't have those same issues that most companies have, where you have to prove up a large initial resource to generate the funding to enable you to build the plant and the infrastructure to go into production. Because we have that plant, we have that infrastructure already on our doorstep. So look, that resource upgrade was fantastic for the company. It met our initial target. The announcement we then put out on Thursday was part of drilling that we're currently in the process of undertaking on. It's actually a gold target. However, the standout intersection from that drill hole was obviously a copper intercept grading 16 metres at 15.4% copper from 47 metres, which included just under 5 metres at 40% copper, which, yeah, is a pretty standout drill intercept. I mentioned it was drilling that was being undertaken in the gold zone. At KB, we've been separately working on three targets, two gold zones and one copper zone. Now, this drill result was drilling on the gold, and these gold oxide areas that we're drilling, typically the mineralization occurs from surface down to about 20-30 meters, which is fantastic, because what that presents for the company is an opportunity for some, again, very easy near-term production opportunities, in that the mineralization occurs at surface down to, say, 30-40 meters. There's no stripping. It's a simple truck and shovel operation. Dig it up, take it to the heap leach and start processing. What's really exciting about this copper result is we hit that underneath the gold oxides. So part of the work that's been that we've been doing over the past few months has been a new geological interpretation of the ore body at KB. And what that geological interpretation was indicating to us, and what the drilling that we've been doing to date has been indicating to us, is It's now looking like we're not dealing with three separate distinct ore bodies, but one large ore body that's interconnected deeper down, and that has the potential to have one very large open pit footprint. Now, we're in quite an enviable position as well, in that the Madnuli mine, which is only 7 kilometres away, is very similar to what we're seeing here. So there's a lot of analogies between what we're doing at KB and what's at Madnuli. Now, Madnuli is a mine that's been in operation for 40 years. They've produced 80 million tonnes of ore, grading approximately 1 gram gold and 1% copper, and they have about another 40 to 50 million tonnes. So all the work we're doing, the geological interpretation, the resource, the high-grade drill results are all indicating that we potentially have something as big, if not bigger, than what they've been mining at Madnuli for the last 40 years. So it's very exciting. I mean, we've got the short-term, near-term production potential, but ultimately, the work we're doing here is to make a new discovery, and that's what these drill results are now indicating, that we have something, you know, potentially pretty big on our hands, which, as I said, is very exciting for the company.
Yeah, and as to confirm that, you know, I mean, shareholders are obviously pleased, but the day after that announcement, you had a fund come on board as well, taking 3% of the company, so that must prove that you're going in the right direction.
It is. Look, it's very positive to be seeing support, not just from our existing shareholders, but from new shareholders. We've achieved a lot in the last 6 months. We set ourselves three targets for this year, and that was to achieve the initial 1 to 2 million tonnes. We then have a larger target for 2017 of 3 to 5 million tonnes. Now, work is ongoing on the gold drilling. We have around another 30 assays coming back from the lab. We've got another 20 drill holes on the gold zone in progress. So we're probably looking at sort of some of those results coming out in the coming weeks, and then we'll have an upgrade of the gold resource within the next say 6 to 8 weeks. And then the longer term target of a 50 million ton plus deposit is, you know, the work on that is now well underway with the geological interpretation, these new high-grade drill results coming in. So it's been a very positive 6 months. So the next 6 months, we'll continue work, we'll continue to increase the resource. We will be moving into production on both the copper and the gold. We'll be working, as I said, on finalising agreements with our partner on the economics of the production agreement and the timing of the production. So it's been an exciting 6 months, and we've got a lot to look forward to over the next 3 to 6 months.
Yeah, definitely. Now, if someone is sitting there thinking, this does sound quite exciting, but they're not following you on Vox, Greg, give them three reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page, please.
Right. I think three reasons. Number one, the potential for a world-class, you know, new discovery in Georgia. I think as we continue to work on these assets, and remember, this is one of only another 14 targets that we think have the potential to have the similar type of potential that we have at KB. So we've got a big discovery here. Second, near-term, short-term production, which will not only be a proof of concept, but it'll generate cash flow to help fund the larger exploration of these bigger discoveries. And third, we're in a jurisdiction that's mining friendly, that's promoting foreign investment, and is going to be very supportive of the company as we go through this sort of rapid development progress over the next 6 months.
Excellent stuff, Greg. Good work. Look forward to chatting to you again in the not too distant future. Thanks very much.
Thanks for your time, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Dave Reeves, Managing Director of Keras Resources. That's KRS. Dave, thanks for coming back on.
Great to chat again, Justin.
Now, you've had a busy time, but I'm just looking back here on Vox at your RNS feed. And in the last couple of weeks, you've announced four bits of news. But before we get to that, as always, for people new to the podcast or have never heard of you, Dave or Keras, can you explain what Keras is all about, please?
Yep, very briefly, Keras main value driver is its 100% owned gold subsidiary that we are funding through its listing on the ASX in about a month's time. In addition, we have exposure to manganese and the very exciting cobalt metal in West Africa, manganese being a near-term production play with quoted reserves and just waiting on a mining permit, and cobalt very soon to be granted an exploration permit to begin work there on a prospect that's seen some pretty exciting numbers in chip samples.
Marvellous. Okay, I think we last covered that actually in our last podcast, the cobalt and nickel licenses. So the last bit of news you had after that was the placing for the ASX listing. Take us through that if you could, Dave.
Yeah, certainly. So the next bit of news was the placing for the ASX listing. So what happened there, the shell that we are putting the assets into did a pre-IPO placing of $620,000. That was the maximum they're allowed to place via the ASX, and that was heavily, heavily oversubscribed. That placing has been done at 2 cents, which is the price we'll be listing at, so not a deep discount or anything, and just shows a level of support for the pre-IPO, which, you know, is money that's, you know, certainly more at risk because there's a lot of hoops to jump through, and to see that level of support from a higher risk investment at no discount, I think speaks, you know, enormously for the level of interest that we're seeing down here.
Yeah, okay. And next bit of news to cover there, I think, was the expansion of the prospective Australian gold footprint, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, we actually, just before that, we announced our own raising of £530,000. And that, you know, would have preferred to put that off a couple of months, but, you know, these things turn out to be quite costly with lawyers both in London and Australia and lots of expert reports and getting ready to start on-ground works in West Africa on the cobalt. So, you know, we needed to do a small raising, and it was great to get that away. So that, you know, leaves us in a good position. And certainly, I think another thing to stress, our cash burn come June 1, most of our costs will shift down to the ASX co. So our cash burn will reduce greatly, and we can use those funds, you know, very targeted approach to just advanced projects.
Yeah. Sorry, I just skipped that one. But so let's go on to last week, because I've been away for a week. With the bank holiday, it feels like a month. I've missed so much. So what? And last week, like I said, you announced expansion of the prospective Australian gold footprint. Take us into the detail there, if you could, Dave.
Yeah, so we've added one license and two applications which sit adjacent to our Warrawoona gold project. There's some historic mines on there, some pretty high grades. It covers known shears, and it also covers the adjacent goldfield called the Marble Bar Goldfield, mm-hmm. Which has had zero modern exploration. It produced a couple of 100,000 ounces at basically an ounce a tonne, you know, from 200,000 tonnes. So exceptionally high grade, yeah. No modern exploration, huge upside there. And just building that story that will eventually be funded through the ASX listing.
Okay, excellent stuff. And also, end of last week, you had a notice of general meeting, but you also had a corporate update. So what's the detail there, Dave?
Okay, so yeah, lots of corporate documents floating around. Again, this is all to do with the listing. So as part of the listing, what we have done is we've extended the acquisition finance agreement to ensure that we're fully listed, have that paid off, and we don't fall into default. You know, that would be horrible at this late stage. So that's great to get that deferred. Mm-hmm. With our initial agreement to acquire some of the tenements there as well, there's an option to purchase what we call the Haoma tenements. Now, that was seeing Keras PLC paying $750,000 Aussie dollars potentially in scrip, plus $500,000 cash. That's been fully assigned to the ASX company. So should ASX company wish to exercise that purchase option, it will be issuing shares in its own company, and we won't be issuing them in PLC. So less dilution for our shareholders. So that was good. But one of the mechanics of the listing process, another mechanic being the notice of general meeting where we need shareholders to get on board and vote for this transaction. You know, we certainly believe it's in the best interests of the company. We will strengthen our balance sheet by removing a large amount of debt. We will have the company fully funded. As I say, the level of excitement for this type of property in Australia is huge, so I expect to see a significant re-rate in the share price on the ASX, and that will flow through to through our holdings into PLC. So lots of good reasons to get out there and vote in the positive. And that's all now on our website, all the details there.
Yeah, and like I say, you've got a lot going on here, Dave, but in your head, and let's say as a shareholder listening now, what would you envisage is the focus in their heads or the most exciting bit about what's going on at Keras? What do you think it is?
Well, there's actually, we're entering a really busy period and full of excitement on all fronts. So I think, the big value driver is that ASX listing, seeing that valuation come through. That's the underlying base value. At the same time, I hope to announce in the very near term the Cobalt license award and the beginning of exploration there. And Cobalt's, a pretty hot metal at the moment. Not a lot of it around, especially outside the DRC. So that's pretty exciting. We are, we've said we're in discussions on the manganese permit. They are continuing. It's really just a matter of finding the time to pin that down at the moment because of the vast tidal waves of paperwork that we've had to get through for this listing. Yeah. I wouldn't pinpoint one thing. I think it's this whole range of issues is coming to fruition, as always, almost at once.
Yeah, so it's going to be quite a busy year for you, 2017, isn't it?
I'm hoping to get through the next month, and once that's out of the way and we're listed, that will take a hell of a lot of pressure off all of us and allow us to crack on more with the on-ground work.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, if someone's listening here and they're seeing, Keras 2017 been busy so far, but will continue to be busy, and they like what they're hearing, but they're not following you, Dave, why should they hit that follow button? Give us three reasons why they should hit that follow button on Vox.
Well, I think we're about to see a massive re-rating from the activities we'll be undertaking in Australia. We're going to be very aggressive with our exploration in gold. So lots of good news flow coming out about gold, lots of re-rating through the valuation on the ASX and the flow through to AIM. So I think that's, prime and centre. Next one would be both the cobalt and manganese. The award of the cobalt, the beginning of exploration there, as I say, hot and exciting metal. Keep an eye on that. And then manganese, securing that license and getting into production for cash flow. So I think between the three of them, three very good reasons.
Excellent. Dave, good to chat to you. And like I said, you are very busy, so no doubt we'll speak again very soon. Thanks very much, Dave.
Cheers, Justin.
All right, here's the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are, at five, always there, Ascent Resources, AST, the most followed company on Vox Markets, that is. At four, Anglo African Oil and Gas, AAOG. At three, 88 Energy, very often in the top five, 88 ticker there. At two, it's Oilex, OEX. And number one, most followed company on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. I also wrote a blog piece on them on the weekend. It's MySquare, MYSQ, and by all means, have a read. You'll find it on the blog section of Vox Markets. It's voxmarkets.co.uk/blog, and you'll see there five reasons to add MySquare to your watch list. Please do your own research. Like I said, it's not investment advice. It's just a bit of information there on which to base your research. All right, here's top five most liked RNSs on Vox Markets last 24 hours. At five, Angus Energy, just released actually, not long ago. That's A&E, permission to drill at Lindsay X2, well received. At four, Kefi Minerals, update on legal proceedings. At three, Motif Bio, annual financial report. At two, Asia Met Resources, that's ARS, ARS, ticker. It's Asia Met shareholder meeting approves all resolutions. And number one, the most liked RNS by far and away today, was from Ascent Resources, AST. That's PG11A, commencement of works there. That's it for the podcast, and it's good to be back after a week away, plus bank holiday. I'm sure I've said it before, but it seemed like a month almost. So I've been away for ages. But I'm back. Thanks for listening. Much appreciated.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.